if I can have your attention in the media center and up in the press box, we are now joined by the runner-up for today's 60th annual Daytona 500 here at Daytona International Speedway. And it's none other than Darrell Wallace Jr., driver of the number 43 Click and Close Chevrolet for Richard Petty Motorsports. Not only was Darrell the highest finishing Sunoco rookie in the race today, but he's also the highest finishing African-American driver in the Great American Race. A second place finish. Besting the previous mark set by NASCAR Hall of Famer Wendell Scott in 1966. Bubba, that was a wild race out there. Wild finish. Walk through this final laps for us.
Daytona. Jesus Christ.
Come on, Bob.
Like we just won the race.
We did win that race, baby.
I love you.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Love you.
Ah, dang it, Mom. Where's my sister at?
Brittany.
Might as well get them all out of the way, right?
So y'all know I do have an older sister. This is her.
Hello.
That's where I get my looks from. Oh. I love you.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Mom. Come on now.
I'm going to talk like this. All right, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was going to say walk through the final laps, but forget the final laps. Walk through just the emotion of this moment for you right now.
Oh, it's a sensitive subject, but I'm just so emotional over where my family has been the last 2 years that I don't talk about it, but it's just so hard, and so having them here to support me is... Pull it together, bud. Pull it together. You just finished second. It's awesome. I just try so hard to be successful at everything I do, and my family pushes me each and every day. And they might not even know it, but I just want to make them proud. And second is horrible, but it's still a good day. But yeah, I just love my family and having everybody here, from my mom, my sister, my uncle, everybody here just... means a lot. Next question. Get me off this subject.
Walk through the final laps, please.
Yeah.
That's quite a finish.
I said uh-oh for the green, white, checkered. I didn't know if we'd end up, well, we still ended up in the infield care center, but damn it. But just wild. I mean, it's Daytona, so you just gotta be relaxed for it the whole time. And just like the duels, I just found myself looking back like a third perspective again, just like, man, you're so calm. You're doing great. Just kind of pumping myself up, but at the same time, just trying to stay focused on the task at hand and not mess up. So we battled through a lot of adversity there and, just been able to, run every lap and I wish I could say bring the car home in one piece, but, what a great car. What a great, Click and Close Chevrolet Camaro ZL1, just fast all day, fast all week. And, you know, I think there was a lot of talk in the garage of how good our car was at pushing. And I think that gave me a lot of respect out there, to be able to do what I can do. So, having everybody from Click and Close here, Richard Petty, that's another story I'll get to in a second, but, just a great night.
We're going to open the floor up for questions. If you have a question for Bubba, please raise your hand and get a wireless mic to you. We're going to start here with Holly, then go to Bob.
Holly Kane, the NASCAR Wire Service. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I just wondered if you could talk. The King and Drew were very complimentary of you. This wasn't just an end of the race. Oh, he ended up top five. You ran hard all day. You were up front all day. Could you talk about the effort of the entire race and really, you know, earning this position?
Yeah, no, it's thanks to the King and Brian Moffitt and Andrew Murstein for giving me this opportunity and, you know, believing in me those four races last year. You know, I just went out and tried not to be a hero, like the King told me right before climbing in. And I didn't try to be a hero tonight. Man, we're sitting here second, being able to talk to you guys about a great finish for my first Daytona 500. So, you know, the chemistry we have with the team is it's incredible. Drew and I just hit it off. Like when I walked into the garage at Pocono last year, it was like, boom, here it is. We have it. And, you know, before we even said anything, we knew it was something there. So we're able to build off that. And, you know, he's really good at managing races and calling races. And you know, when I mess up, like sliding through the box there, you know, he just repeats it over and over that we're fine. You know, just settle in, refocus, and just go out there and do what you do. And don't do it again, obviously. But just the team we have behind us right now is so much fun. And knowing that we're a smaller budget team, you know, we have a lot of poise and a lot of attitude and just a lot of stuff to fight for this year. So I'm really looking forward to Atlanta. Don't know what the hell we'll have there because we're just it's all new for us. So I know this will carry over to Atlanta and be good.
We're gonna go to Bob, then to Dan, then to Brendan, then to Kelly.
Bob Pockrass, ESPN. How taxing has this whole week been on you with all the cameras and all the you know, the Facebook deal and all that? And then also, can you talk about getting the call from Hank Aaron before the race?
Yeah. Where's Griffin at? Where's my camera crew at? There he is. Griffin, him and I have almost come to blows over this Facebook deal. Not really, but it's just we both know how stressful it is, and we're both just trying to do our jobs, and it's been very taxing on that. And Griffin, I'm not doing another interview after this, so this is all you're getting. The race went great. We ran 500 miles Daytona. My first Daytona 500, we finished second. Got it. Put that in there. We're done. Yeah. His favorite question is, what do we do today? But just an incredible moment. You know, to be in that position, it takes me back to a week ago when Dale called me. Right as soon as I landed here, he says, hey, the next 3 or 4 weeks are going to be busy for you. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Just come off a stressful night. And he just had the words to bring that positive light back up that I try to carry with me every day. And he says, I have the opportunity to do things outside of this sport that not really anybody else can. So take that, run with it, and set yourself up from 10 years from now and look back on it and see how you did.
Go next to Dan.
Dan Gelson, Associated Press. Daryl, what did the King ask tell you before the race, and what was your what was it like with him after the race?
Well, he did tell me last night. I was his Uber back from dinner. So I brought him back to the bus. And we were just making small talk. No cameras there. And you know, I was just, you know, we were talking what it was like. You know, he's been here since day one, running on the beaches and ever since this was built. And just hearing all that, just was like, wow, first of all, I wasn't even born yet. Wasn't even a thought yet. My parents were just born, just kind of showing his age there. And just to hear what he had to talk about. But right as we pulled in the bus lot, he was talking, just park at your bus. I'll walk over. I'm like, no, I'll take you to your bus. We're not far. And he's like, all right, can you do a burnout? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then all of a sudden he follows up. If you do a burnout in the race car, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. So I'm like, oh, all right. So we got that out of the way. But I think having him and then after the race, let me get to that, to where my heart's still pumping over that. I'm sitting on the cot in the infield care center, and I'm pissed off about the finish, obviously. And he walks in livid, and I'm like, yes, he's mad. Let's go do something. And he walks in, and the first thing he says, what's the first thing I told you, with a very stern attitude and look? And I'm like, And he says, I told you not to wreck the car. And And I was like, I didn't do it. So we shared a good laugh, and he come in and gave me a big hug after that. He to see the smile on his face, I think you had to be there to experience that moment. All the liaisons in there were pretty nervous for me, too, until he cracked the joke. But just a great day to see – a great week. Seeing him after the duels, how pumped up he was, and just the same amount of emotion, if not more, right here after the race.
We're going to go to Brendan, then to Kelly, then to Kenny, then upstairs to the press box.
Hey, Bubba, right yep. here. Brendan Marshall, Charlotte Observer. Congrats.
Thank
first
you.
Off. You said that you know the king told you not to try and be a hero. What did you expect for yourself, sort of going into the race? Could you have imagined this? And then, when during the race did you realize that you really had a chance to make a push?
You know, I don't have the experience as anybody out there. I got the rookie stripes for a reason. So making some of those moves today, I was a little bit delayed and a little bit late, and luckily kept out of harm's way. But, you know, it just all comes with time. And jumping into the Xfinity Series, I was, you know, I have the attitude and just the confidence to win every race that you enter. But we all know that's not going to happen. And so jumping in tonight, I had the same attitude, but I just knew the circumstances and how this race plays out and the moves you have to make and the defending and blocking that you have to do. And I've never done it to this level, so – I was like, if we get put in that position, here we go, you know, hang on. But, you know, unfortunately we never did, but we come to a really close second, and I was able to push the RCR affiliate teammate there out to the win. So congrats to Austin. That was cool.
Come down here to your right to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Bubba, two things. You saved your race there at the end with that save in turns one and two where you threw sparks and dirt tracked it. Can you just describe going through that? And the second thing is, in the beginning of the race, you looked really antsy when you were second. Looked like you wanted to lead the race. What was going through your mind then?
Yeah, I think I was just trying to learn stuff there, make those bold moves, see what happens, and try to. And if we fell back, it wasn't the end of the world. But just try to defend off the guys behind me. I know. I think it was myself and Denny that were out front, and wasn't really trying to get by him, but I just wanted to, you know, lead the bottom line, go back to the top line. Everything that you've watched from Brad doing, Joey doing, Ryan did it all night tonight. So I wanted to experience that for a little bit, and I got to. So, my notebook was jotted down for sure. But then after the pit stops, we were just so hard on the splitter, and it looked like I was just kind of driving around. But I was playing it smart, trying to save my race car. Oh, the save. Yeah, that's the reason I skipped that. I don't want to talk about it. Hoo-wee. Daytona.
Let's go to Kenny, then we're going to go upstairs to the press box, and we'll come back down.
Kenny Bruce with KennyBruce.net. Daryl, you were asked about Hank earlier. You also got a tweet, I think, from Lewis Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Hamilton.
I mean, Lewis Hamilton, my bad. What do those types of things mean to you?
Sullivan.
I mean, when you see those things.
No. That was cool. My manager, Kyle, who's also my big brother over there, he walks in the bus. Guess who just followed you? I'm like, who? He said Lewis Hamilton. I'm like, what? Freaking out, fangirling out. That's cool. I look up to him. He does so many great things in the F1 world. So he's just a genuine badass in what he does. So that was cool. And then he sent out a tweet, and I got weak at the knees. Luckily, I was sitting down when I was replying to him. I think I was taking a golf cart ride out to an appearance, and I replied back. So really cool and really special, you know, for Hank Heron to also call right there before was really special. And just knowing that people are tuning in and hopefully noticing the new face and the new change that's coming to NASCAR, and they get behind it and support it. So just exciting.
We're going to head upstairs to the press box.
Bubba, congratulations. Denny claims that he got a flat tire at the start-finish line at the checkered flag. Do you buy that?
I mean, it looked kind of like the same movie pulled on at Ryan at Martinsville, if I remember correctly, last year with that mayhem. But, you know, if I did, or if that happened, okay, so be it. But it just seems like he got off of me a little bit and then turned back into me. I know the cars drive crazy and whatnot, and they're a handful, but it just didn't seem like that right away. But it was tough to see from that angle anyways. So who knows? You know, we're both pissed off at each other, but we're racers. We're competitive, and we'll go into Atlanta and be fine. I might be kicked out of the basketball league, but whatever. And golf league, too. Whatever.
We'll go back here to Donna Beth. Right behind you, buddy.
Donna Beth Wildman, Martinez News Gazette, Benicia Herald. I've been talking to a lot of drivers, and rookies have a bit of a reputation in general. But the drivers that have been seasoned veterans are speaking with respect of you. Clint Boyer said, you earned this ride, and you're earning the respect of the veteran drivers. How are you able to do that so quickly?
I don't know. Thanks, Clint. I've always kind of tested his waters, and it's like, hey, Clint, oh, okay, no, all right. Hey, Clint, okay. Thanks, Clint. I don't know. I just be myself and try not to be a jackass out on the track. And just try to, you know, from running trucks in Xfinity, just it was always, you know, hold a steady line. That's how you're going to gain respect. And I think all throughout practice and the duels, just having the right guys behind me, you know, working with Newman a lot this weekend. I think, you know, he was a big fan. I don't know if he'll ever admit it, but yeah, it's just trying to run my own race and not cause any havoc out there. If you run a good, clean race, run all the laps, then, you know, I think you'll get a lot of respect. And I think our car is the way my guys built our car. You know, we were a really good push car. You know, we got behind there a little bit, and I'm like, man, we're not really going anywhere, but I can just run over these guys, and we're really making some ground up a little bit. But that's just credit off to – hats off to the guys back at the shop and everybody on this, you know, 43 Chevrolet Click and Close Camaro Z01. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it.
Well done. Let's go back up to the press box.
Lee Spencer, motorsport.com. Were you at a point there right at the white flag where you thought you might be sniffing a win, or did – Austin just have too much of a lead at that point?
You know, I've watched a couple of these races, and I got down to 10 to go, and I said, all right, we still got about 2 hours left here. I'm all good in here, so I'm not thinking about it. And even on the white flag, we still got 2.5 miles to go with Logano breathing down my neck, knowing that he likes to just dart out, and everybody's going to go with him, so I'm just trying to keep him in my mirror. So I think I was, you know, full of thinking about that. And not really thinking about, you know, winning the race, knowing that we still had to get through 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and, you know, almost got caught up there on the backstretch. But, you know, still, anyways, it's a good day just to come home second, just come home with a finish here at Daytona. A lot of cars wrecked out early, and we were able to capitalize on that. So it really means a lot to be able to just run all the laps, have a good, clean race, and earn the respect of your peers.
And how are you feeling? I know you were kind of a little puny, like Wednesday.
Puny.
Well, it's one way to describe it. You weren't feeling well earlier in the week. Are you feeling better now?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm all right. I'm a little emotional right now, but all good. Thank you.
We're going to go next to Dinah, then to Holly, then to Jim, then to Mike.
Dinah Pulver with the Daytona Beach News Journal. We've seen your colorful personality, but tonight we've seen a lot of emotion. Are you always this emotional, or did you expect to be this emotional after this good finish?
No, I usually just sprinkle water and sprinkle tears on my face to make it look like I'm not emotional. But no, I'm just I get that no matter what the circumstances are. When you have family here and you run good, and it's been a while since you've, you know, been somewhat competitive, I mean, it pulls on the heartstrings. So I'm competitive. I love the win. I hate to finish second, and you know, obviously that shows for everybody. But you know, I'm human. No matter if I race cars for a living and enjoy doing it, at the end of the day, we all get emotional about something. So I'm just the same as you guys.
Holly?
Holly Kane, NASCAR Wire Service. I wanted to ask you, because over the course of your career, you had some times that were very uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
And you stayed with it, and you were positive, and you joked on Twitter about this could be the sponsor, that could be the sponsor. Could you just talk a little bit about how you feel and where you are today versus even 2 years ago, and the power that you felt in terms of sticking this out and staying with your dream?
Yeah, no, it's just all about adversity, and, you know, looking at the stuff you've gone through, it's motivation. Here come the emotions again, God. But, you know, on the sponsorship side, it's tough. I mean, we should all be firing a tweet to Domino's, because if we finish second, we should at least get free pizza for the media room, right? So they're missing out on that ball. But, you know, that's why we have great partners like Click and Close. They take the big step not knowing anything about NASCAR, right? And they take the big step and believe in me and give me an opportunity that not a lot of people get. So I had to capitalize. Never quit.
Go next to Jim Utter, then the mic.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. You referenced a little bit earlier about not sure about what you would have at Atlanta. From a competitive standpoint, did you feel a little bit more confident about what was possible at Daytona because of that uncertainty, or are you just not sure what you're going to have next week?
I think the exciting thing about Daytona is, I mean, unless you're just coming there just to run at the back of the pack all day and accept a finish, you know. But everybody that shows up to Daytona has a shot. That's just the that's what Daytona produces, and Talladega as well. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. A very low-budget team or a top-dollar team, everybody has a shot to win. So, you know, that's why we always say when we go to Atlanta, that's when we really see what, you know, who's playing what cards. So just from everything that's been going on in the offseason, switching over to Chevrolet, the alliance with RCR, you know, they were rebuilding their stages there at the end of the year for their program. So it's just you know, we're heading in there like we're gonna win that race, but at the same time we also know we have a lot of things to check off the list.
We're gonna go to Mike and then we're gonna wrap up with Peter.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. Every driver thinks they should be in the Cup Series. If they don't, they probably shouldn't be driving a race car. But at this moment for you, at that, was it when you signed your contract? Was it when you rolled in here this week? Or was it when you took the checker today that you finally have that belief in yourself that, yes, you are officially a Cup Series driver full-time?
I think the Vegas test, really. We get to test again. That's nice. I think there, going there, it's like, okay, we're able to do all these things. Two-day test here, get familiar with the cars, and get to experience these cars that – and how fast they are. You know, we're faster at Vegas than we are here. It's incredible. And just getting to experience that and then coming down here just kind of put the icing on the cake, you know, knowing being on this side of the garage, knowing my haulers over here and getting to see how the fans interact with the windows, which I think is great. Not just walking through and, you know, hey, what's up, waving everybody at the top because I'm going to cheer on, you know, ex-teammates or whatever they are. It's my garage to all my guys. It's our team, and I think that's special. So I'm enjoying it all. Just taking it one day by day.
Peter?
Hey, Bubba. Peter Karasotis, New York Times. Exactly what did Hank Aaron say to you, and how surprised were you to hear from him?
Yeah, he just said, hey, good luck, and just have a good race today, and that was it. He knew that we were pressed for time, and it was 5 seconds, and that's all he said. And that was really cool. And so when Merstein come up to me and say, hey, Hank Aaron's on the line, I'm like, what? That's awesome. So I was pretty excited about that. Drew, what up, dog? How about that? Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Good job, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Well, Bubba, congratulations on the finish today. Good luck next week in Atlanta, and good luck for the remainder of the season.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.